Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
Your salvation is for you, but your salvation is not about you. Jesus died on the cross for you. The purpose was all about Him. God is saving people, stepping into humanity for His name's sake, that He might be known as God who saves.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Sending His Son to die for us says a lot about what a loving God thinks of us. But the good news of the gospel also communicates what God wants us to know of Him. Pastor Greg continues a fascinating first look into the book of Romans today, revealing all the gospel proclaims.
The theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. Good news, Jesus. Jesus stepped in. And so the gospel, the good news, reveals something to us about our Savior. That He stepped in a particular way, and we're to be moved by what kind of hero we have in Christ. That the gospel doesn't move us merely because of where we are. The gospel, in fact, moves us because of what our hero is like. So here's the two ideas of what He's like. Jesus stepped in to save humanity, and Jesus stepped in with power. Look at the beginning of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Maybe better translated, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Paul looked at himself in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he said to himself, I am a slave of Christ. And the question we have to answer is, why would Paul consider himself a slave to Christ? And the why is this. Let's just keep reading just for a little bit. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Humankind rebelled against God, and now we need a salvation plan. And God has set in motion a plan to redeem humankind. And when did that plan start? Sometimes we think God had a lot of different plans, and none of them worked. And so plan cross was plan A, B, C, D, or something, but nothing worked beforehand, so therefore let's try this. That's not what happened. The plan was Jesus from the beginning. It says, it was promised beforehand through the prophets, through the Holy Scriptures. There wasn't anything that required him to make a plan of salvation. God, because of who he is, wanted to save humans because that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he is like. And so he set a plan in motion from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the plan was, send my son to save sinners. Jesus is the culmination of the gospel that has been proclaimed since the book of Genesis. He is the final piece of the puzzle of the gospel that is being proclaimed even now. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. He had just said, he had promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. You see that phrase there? Concerning his son. That phrase is a big deal. So far, we have a Messiah. We have a Messiah who has died on a cross, and we have a Messiah who is the culmination of human history. But now we have concerning his son, and now we are seeing a picture of the Messiah that was mostly missed. In fact, had it not been missed, maybe they wouldn't have crucified him. I don't know. But what does it mean concerning his son? Here's what it means. Jesus is God. He has always been, and he will always be. He was born a man in time, but Jesus, the Son of God, has always been because Jesus is God. And so when we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul saying, I am a slave of Christ, predicted beforehand concerning his son. Paul is saying, I am a slave to God himself. The Messiah who was promised beforehand is God. And that's what many people in Israel missed. And they knew there was going to be a Messiah. They knew he was going to be a man. They knew he was going to save his people. Many of them didn't connect the dots and realize it was going to be God himself who would be the Messiah. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I am a slave to Messiah because Messiah is God. Romans 3. More than that, Jesus stepped in to save humanity by being descended from David according to the flesh. So although he is God and has always been God and always will be God, he was born in the flesh and became a human, a man. He entered into humanity. In order to step in to save humanity, he had to enter into humanity. So Jesus is the Messiah, and the Apostle Paul says, I am his slave. Because he is God. Romans 1:5. Look what the Apostle Paul says. It was through Jesus Christ our Lord that we received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name. So the question is, why would Jesus enter into humanity? Obviously, that was what he was interested in. And obviously, that's his nature. But what is hoped to be gained by Jesus entering into humanity to save humanity from their sins? And there's two reasons for it. Number one, to bring about his grace. It says, Paul's apostleship was intended to bring about obedience of faith. What is obedience of faith? God's existence does not require your belief. You cannot believe all day long. He will not stop existing. He will exist regardless if we buy it or not. And this is how faith and obedience are connected. Obedience of faith is merely a recognition. I believe God exists and he is totally in charge, despite the fact that his existence gets in the way of me doing whatever I want. Because if he is totally in charge, what does that mean about me? I'm not. And so this is obedience of faith. So that's first step. Paul is saying he has a ministry of bringing people to the obedience of faith, recognizing reality the way it actually is. God exists, and he's in charge. But look at the next thing. He wants to bring people to obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. Why did Jesus step in to save humanity? Because he loves us? Yes. Because it's his interest? Yes. Because it's his nature? Yes. But why? For the sake of his reputation. He wants to be known as the saving God, the redeeming God. This isn't the first time in the Bible his name has come up. Look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he's getting the covenant promises from God. He's been up there for a while. The mountain looks like a volcano. Down in the camp, Israel has decided to make for themselves a god in the form of a cow made of gold, and they are worshiping that idol by having a party, and this is their act of worship to this cow, which is doing basically whatever they want, right? And while Moses is up on the mountain, this is happening, and God says to Moses, the people of Israel, oh my lands. I think it was something like that in the Hebrew, oh my lands. I don't know. And God says, you know what? I'm going to smite them. I'm going to smote them. They will be smitten. I am going to wipe them out, and I'm going to start over with you, Moses. You seem good. People coming out of you ought to be all right. And what does Moses say? That sounds fantastic. Yeah, you're right. These people are a real pain. No, he doesn't say that. Look at Exodus 32, 11. Moses implored the Lord his God, and he said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Here's Moses' argument. God, if you wipe out Israel, Egypt won't think you're a saving God. What will Egypt think? They're not going to believe you're a saving God. They're going to think you're a smiting God. And what is God's response? You're absolutely right. I'm not going to do it. Because it was for his name. And what is his name? The redeeming God who saves his people from Egypt. Not because they deserve it, but because that's what God is like. God is saving people, stepping into humanity for his name's sake, that he might be known as God who saves. Good news. God saves humanity. God saves you and he saves me by his grace through faith to give himself glory. I don't want to annoy you any more than I already have. Well, I do actually. Here we go. Your salvation is for you, but your salvation is not about you. As it turns out, and I know this is going to surprise everybody in the room, you are not the center of the universe. And you thought, but he died on the cross because, I mean, look at me. I'm amazing. You don't actually think that out loud. Jesus died on the cross for you. The purpose was all about him. For his name's sake, that he might be discovered to be God who saves. That's what it is, for his name's sake that we are called to obedience of faith. That when we receive salvation by faith, people look at Jesus and go, he must be a saving God because I know what you're like. And he is glorified in our salvation, but we are not the focus of our redemption. Jesus is. We get saved for his glory, but we derive significant benefit from it. Jesus stepped in to save humanity for his name's sake, that we might be called to obedience of faith and enjoy redemption in him for his glory. Jesus stepped in to save humanity. Okay, let's look at the next one real quick. Jesus stepped in to save humanity, but how? With power. Jesus stepped in with power. Now, in baseball, if you watch Major League Baseball, some people do, there's two ways you can score a run. There's lots of ways you can score a run. I'm going to just illuminate you to two ways you can score a run. Say you got guys on base, and another guy gets up to bat, and he will do what's called a sacrifice bunt. So the pitcher throws the ball, pitches the ball, bowls the ball, whatever you call it, and he'll hold his little bat out there, dink it. And his hope is to get it just far enough from the pitcher that it takes him too long to get the ball so a runner can score. There's another way you can score. A guy gets up with biceps the size of my legs, and he has a bat, and it looks like it's being crushed in his grip. And the pitcher pitches it, and he hits the ball down in San Francisco into the bay. That's called the home run. He doesn't even watch it. When he hits it, he knows, bye, see ya. You'll never see that ball again. And he trots around. Okay, which one's more fun? The sacrifice bunt. There's a reason. This is a quote. This isn't in the Bible, just so you know. There's no verse for this. Chicks dig the long ball. Right? I mean, we love the homers. I mean, just crushes it and he walks it, maybe calls his role. We love the power move. And what the Bible is telling us is Jesus stepped in with power. Look at verse 4. He was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power. Do you see that? In power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was the home run of all home runs. It was the 100-yard reception for the touchdown to win the game. It was the big one. There was nothing better. There was no victory more powerful or more important. This is Jesus stepping in, mic drop, walking off the court saying, try that. Anybody want a piece of this? And what does it say? The devil's just running for his life. Jesus stepped in with power. We sin against God, and so death reigns. That's what death has on it. That's what sin has on us. Everybody dies. The mortality rate of planet Earth is 100%. Everybody dies. If you're not dead yet, you will. I mean, and I say that, I don't mean to be depressing. It's the reality. The reason we have to remind ourselves of this is in our culture, we've shoved death off into the far reaches of the corner. As soon as grandma or our friend has cancer in their terminal, we stop seeing them and we just email, how are they doing? And so that we, because we don't want to go see them dying. And memorial services nowadays have changed. It's not very often that there's a casket or even an open casket because we don't want to see death. We want to pretend we somehow, if there's enough medical care, death stops. It hasn't stopped. Everybody dies and death rules. And that's how sin has its grips on us because everybody dies. And Jesus steps in and says, okay, well, everybody dies. I mean, that's the way it is. But what if you're raised from the dead? So the rule is, if you sin, you die. But what if I made it so you just raised from the dead? I mean, let's just change the rules. Of course you're going to die. Big deal. But what if you're raised? And so he comes in as a human. He dies on the cross having never sinned, so he wasn't required to die. 3 days later, he rises from the dead and says, if you're in me, you're raised with me. So now death doesn't matter. He just completely changed the rules. Now death is not a thing. I mean, it's an event. I mean, we all got to do it at some point. But now it doesn't even matter because the rules have changed. And this is described as his power of the resurrection. He has completely written the rule book. Sin and death no longer rule. This is the power of his salvation. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Jesus is a priest. He is our priest, and this is what the Bible says. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. Long story short, Melchizedek was a priesthood that never began and never end. Verse 16. Who has become a priest, not on the basis of legal requirement concerning his bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. So Jesus is our priest, not because he's a Levite, not because he's descended from Aaron, not because he's of Israel. He is our priest intervening on our behalf before God because he is indestructible. He is that powerful that he can overcome death. That is how powerful and mighty our Savior is. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that he is Lord of all. The kids nowadays, when they're talking about athletes, they call him the GOAT. You know what GOAT stands for? Greatest of all time. In a very real sense, that only applies to Jesus. He is the only one who could overcome sin and death. He is the only one who goes into a tomb with an exit strategy. And he walks out greatest of all time. Lifted up and glorified because he is just that powerful. Think about it. There were four centurions outside that grave. Centurions, what are they? They are what we call tough hombres. They kill people on the weekend just to keep their skills sharp. The angel of the Lord, not Jesus, the angel of the Lord says to the centurions, what's up, fellas? And how does the Bible describe them? Unable to move, paralyzed in fear. That's not even Jesus. That's just one of his homies. This is the Savior we serve. That powerful that one of his angels scares centurions to death. Jesus says to death, step aside, bro. I'm here. And he conquers it. He is the greatest of all time because he is God in the flesh that death cannot defeat. Genesis 2, 15, 16, and 17. The Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you will surely die. And you know what the man said?
I'm sorry, what was it?
I mean, it's just like that. Oh, there's something we can't do? Oh, I'm in. And death rules. Death reigns. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Death has nothing. If you're in Christ, you participate in the resurrection of Christ. In Christ, we anticipate the power of Christ's resurrection forever. And so now we wonder, why did Paul say, I'm his slave? Because that's the best place to be. Because he is a servant of the greatest of all time, the great and mighty and powerful risen Savior. The enemy had a plan. Kill what God had made by getting humankind to disobey him, and God had a better plan. I'll give you resurrection. And Jesus pulled it off because he is just that powerful. Jesus stepped in to save humanity by becoming a human and humbling himself for us and taking our sin on the cross. And Jesus stepped in to save humanity with power. And he walked out of that grave and said, I don't think so. And if you want to walk out of your grave, then you must be with Christ. Just two or three quick things, and we'll close with this. Jesus wants to save you. His salvation is personal. His salvation is individual. His salvation is human. He is a man who died on the cross, and he knows the situation we've got ourselves in, and he says, I want to save you in particular. He knows what we've done. He knows what we're planning on doing, and he says, I have salvation for you. It's merely a matter of faith. Are we willing to recognize the way things actually are? God created everything and is in charge, and he saw fit to send his Savior to save us. Will we believe it? Because he understands where we're at. Second thing, Jesus is the greatest. There is no power, there is no victory, there is nothing that has ever happened in human history more powerful, more important, or more significant than the resurrection. That was the culminating point of humankind at that moment, and he pulled it off. He is that powerful. The resurrection changed everything about the human experience because we can be in Christ and anticipate a resurrection. What should this move us to do? We should see the power and glory of the resurrection and be moved to worship our King and our Savior and our Master, Jesus Christ. The resurrection is power that should move us to worship and glorify him who could defeat death. Last thing, Jesus is not desperate. You know what it means to be desperate? Nobody here, of course. Desperate. What does desperate mean? When a young man or a young woman having a little trouble finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. Right? You'd be there and say, I'm just looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right, and can't get there. And pretty soon, maybe a person like me, you know, I'm 75 years old and I haven't gotten married. And you know, you got a heartbeat? You're breathing? Come on over here. I love you. I mean, I see a connection there. We're both alive. I mean, what more could there be, right? And then we look at Jesus sometimes, the way he's presented, maybe the way we read the scripture, maybe the way we look at it, maybe the way the gospel is sold. And we say, man, this guy must be desperate. Like, does he not have any followers? Jesus isn't desperate. Jesus is the King of the universe. Jesus is God. And he has always been God, and Jesus will always be God. He has seen fit by his humiliation to offer us a means to participate in his resurrection. So here's essentially what he is saying. We can recognize he is God and let him deal with our death. Or we can decide we think we can handle our death all on our own. And because he's not desperate, he will see fit to let us do that. There's two ways our death can be handled. It can be handled by Christ on the cross with the power of the resurrection, or we can say, I don't think so. I don't buy it. I'll handle my death on my own. And that's a great tragedy because we can't handle our own death. Jesus wants to save you, and he's calling us to put our faith in him that he can handle our death.
Pastor Greg Spires wrapping up a message looking at what the resurrection accomplished for those who put their faith in the one who died to give life. And there's more from Pastor Greg, who's standing by to close out today's broadcast in just a moment. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you're in the Southern Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Again, lastinghope.org. Well, Pastor Greg has joined me in the studio, and we've just concluded a message in this new series in Romans called Jesus Stepped In to Save Humanity. And Greg, can you tie a ribbon on what we've just heard?
Yeah, I think we've all been in one of those places and one of those times where somebody needed our help. Maybe you could imagine a kid calling from his bedroom, hey, Dad, I need your help with something. And all of us as parents maybe in that situation at first would be tempted to say, why don't you come out here and I'll give you a hand with that? And we've all been in that place. But what's interesting about the Lord in seeking us out to save us, he got up and came to us. He came to where we were in the situations we find ourselves, and in fact, in situations that were the result of our sin and rebellion. And he got up and he took the initiative to come get us and to come help us. And I think what that ought to do is open our hearts and minds to the profound love, mercy, and grace of God. Maybe melt the hardness of our hearts a little bit, that we're more receptive to how gracious and loving God is for us, not only to save sinners, but to stick with us and lead us along in life with him until we see him again. It really opens our eyes to how great God is and should fill us with joy, which it does.
Yeah, it does. And I just want to mention that Lasting Hope is committed
to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you know Christ, maybe you don't, and you want more information about who He is and how He can change your life. Well, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God. Or you can also visit us in person at FBC in Medford. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Also, Pastor Greg has written encouragement in his Lasting Hope newsletter. Every week, he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will inspire and reassure you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look in the book of Romans. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.